Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 24th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. People hear that we went to Germany during Oktoberfest, but we did not go to Oktoberfest, and I think that's crazy. My wife doesn't drink beer. We don't like crowds, which is why we went a year after the 500th anniversary. They got it all gussied up for the Reformation celebration, and we missed the crowds. Went to Worms, stayed at Luther's monastery in Erfurt, climbed up Wartburg Castle, spent 4 days in Wittenberg, and we stayed at the Luther Hotel there. Toured the homes of Luther and Philip Melanchthon, the educator of the Reformation, and went to church several times. At St. Mary, the mother church of the Reformation, and at the castle church. Got my picture taken in front of that door where Luther nailed the 95 Theses, the thing that got this thing all started. And that's where lie, in the castle church, the earthly remains of Martin Luther. At the castle church, right in front of the pulpit. It's a European thing. They dig a hole right there in the church. They plant the man there. It's a very simple resting place, the one of Martin Luther. Very simple tomb, a little bit raised, and on top there's an inscription that says, "Here lies buried the body of Martin Luther, doctor of sacred theology. He died in the year of Christ 1546 on February 18 in his paternal city of Eisleben at the age of 63 years, 2 months, 10 days. Next up, we're going to the Holy Land. We will not be visiting the final resting place of Jesus. Luke tells us that they were perplexed. Perplexed. It's the feeling you get when you go to break out the mower in the spring. You go out to the shed to mount the ZRT. You open the door to the shed, and it's not there. Where it always is. It's not there. Or you walk into the kitchen and there's a big hole where the refrigerator had been sitting for the last 14 years, but it's not there. Or you come here this morning, let's say, and all the pews are gone. They weren't looking for a refrigerator or pews or the mower. They were looking for a body, the one that they had seen put into that hole in the ground. That's what they were looking for, and they were perplexed. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which had been prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they went in, they did not find the body. They were perplexed. Dictionary definition of that word is to be at a loss mentally, to literally have no way out, meaning there's no possible explanation here for the refrigerator and the mower and the body being gone. There's just no explanation for it. I'm pretty sure this is my shed. I'm pretty sure this is my kitchen. I'm pretty sure this is the right hole in the ground. The one we saw him being put into not very long ago. And they go from perplexed to being frightened. Look, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. Perplexed and then frightened. So in the adult Bible class on Sunday morning, we've been studying 1 Corinthians this year. Interesting book. Interesting flock, those first century Corinthians, among other things. We discovered that the Corinthian women in the first century were supposed to wear a veil to church. But it's okay. We're not first Corinthians, century Corinthians. You don't have to wear a veil. You don't even have to wear a lid to church. We found out also that Jesus did not look like Fabio. In fact, he probably almost certainly had short hair. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the body of Christ. Talks about the body of Christ. Talks about that more than once in the New Testament. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. And then he goes on to talk about the hand and the foot and the mouth and the like. He's talking about you. He's talking about you who are the body of Christ. Different people, different backgrounds, different skill sets and the like, but one body. He's talking about you, the Christian church. We looked at that. And other places in the New Testament where similar language is used, the metaphor of the body of Christ. And that metaphor, the body of Christ, is all over the place. It was in our LWML quarterly Bible study earlier this month. And that's a Christian thing. It's exclusively a Christian thing to speak of ourselves as the body of our leader, who is Jesus. Other religions do not talk that way about the body of their leader. They can't. They don't because they can't. What I mean is, if you want to find the final resting place for Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormon Church, take a day trip across the river down to Nauvoo, Illinois, to the Smith Family Cemetery. That's where his earthly remains remain. Mary Eddie Baker, the founder of Christian Science, neither Christian nor scientific, is buried at Mount Auburn Cemetery in Massachusetts. And the bones of the religion of the prophet of the religion of violence rest under a green dome in Medina. And to talk about the body of any of those founders of those religions, to talk about the body, it can't. You just can't. It doesn't work. There are foot bones, but no foot. There are hand bones, but no hands, no eye, no ear. Those people all went into the ground. So did Buddha. So did Charles Taze Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses. They all went into the ground, and they stayed there. And they stayed there. And to talk about the body of Joseph Smith, well, you can't. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. Oh, that's right. Now I remember. She bought a new refrigerator. Those men came and took the old one away. The new one will be here this afternoon. Oh, that's right. My neighbor, the John Deere mechanic trainer, is going to sharpen the blades on my mower and the like. Oh, that's right. When we were up in Galilee, Jesus mentioned something about rising from the dead. Now I remember. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. And it sounds like these women believed that that's what had happened, because that was what had happened. The women believed. Then they told other people what they had observed. The tomb is empty, which was at first perplexing, then frightening. But once they had it explained to them, of course, that's why Jesus isn't here. He rose from the dead. Now I remember. It's like he said, he would be killed after 3 days. He would rise again. And why do you seek the living among the dead? And those two concepts and words are kind of opposite, aren't they? Living, dead, dead, living. I hear these days increasing alarm from people who pay attention to those kinds of things. Increasing alarm at what has been called the culture of death. The culture of death that seems to be gaining traction in our country. 20th anniversary of Columbine this week, And more than one person observed that in kind of a creepy way, to be real honest. I'm one who pays attention to those kinds of things, and I am alarmed. After 2,000 years or so of this culture of life, that is the Christian religion, we seem to be, to use Jesus' words, returning to the vomit. Returning to the vomit, the pagan world where we began. The pagan world, it's a dark world. A world of immorality. A world of every man for himself, death all around. Infanticide, it means the killing of infants. And in the Greco-Roman pagan world, it was done as a matter of course, especially to infants who were not perfectly formed. And families with more than one girl were rare in those days, Polybius says. Infants might just be abandoned, and that means just what it sounds like. Abortion was legal, accepted, and frequent. Humans, including children, were often sacrificed to their gods, who were thought to like the taste especially of young children. The taking of one's life was acceptable, and the elderly were often taken out into the countryside and left there. They were seen as takers, not givers, no longer useful to our society. That's the world into which Jesus came, saying things like, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And he practiced what he preached, healing diseases, raising Lazarus from the dead, and he stared death in the face on Good Friday, then he stared death down, rising from the dead. Indeed, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen, and he lives forever, and we are, you are, the living body of Christ in a way that no other religion can be the living body of their leader. And following the lead of Jesus, the apostles, and the women at the tomb, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and brings life to all, and knowing that, we tell people. We tell people. That's another thing that's pretty much exclusive to the Christian religion. Not absolutely exclusive, but a lot of most religions don't do that sort of thing. Tell people about it at home, at work. And we send out missionaries to preach the gospel. And why do we do that? Because we want people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, who may be living in that culture of death, to live eternally, to bring them into this culture of life. We value all human life. The critics of the pro-lifers accuse us of caring more about the unborn than the born, and that's a lie. Orphanages, hospitals, including for the mentally ill, nursing homes, and the like, were all invented by the Christians to take care of our own first. And what astounded the pagans was that after we took care of our own, we took care of them, a culture of life. Lutheran Hospital in Moline was started by the Lutherans, financed and run by the Lutherans, for the Lutherans. But when the first Methodists showed up, well, we're not going to turn you away. And what about the person who makes no claim to be a Christian? Bring it on in. And you would say the same thing about Catholic hospitals, Presbyterian hospitals, and the rest. A culture of life. So next up, go into the Holy Land, and we will not be visiting the resting place of the body of Jesus. We will not be looking for the living among the dead. We may go to the tomb where his body had been, haven't gotten that far yet, but we won't be visiting the resting place of the body of Jesus. That living body of Jesus, after it rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and that's where the living body of Jesus is now located, not in a grave in Jerusalem. You don't go to the Holy Land, obviously, to visit the body of Jesus. Visit the tomb. We know where it is. The body is not there. To seek the body of Jesus, that's the tomb of Jesus, to seek the living among the dead. These days, the body of Jesus is in heaven. We don't go to Jesus. Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to us. The body and blood of Jesus come down from heaven to us. And that perplexes many Christians, especially in America, where they tend to focus on self, talking about my faith rather than on Jesus and where he is located. John Calvin, contemporary of Luther, genesis of all the problems in Protestantism, said that if you want to get to Jesus, want to get to Jesus in the sacrament, you have to, by faith, ascend to heaven. That's where you find Jesus, John Calvin says. You do the traveling. Actually, it's sort of the opposite. Jesus does the traveling. The living Jesus comes down to us, in with and under the bread and wine. The living Jesus comes to us, bringing not a culture of death, but a culture of life. And in coming here this morning, you seek the living Jesus among the living, and here you find him. The living Jesus. He comes here today, his living body present for you, His living body, the body of Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.